BER for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This is Gordon, W2TTT. I'm your net control for the evening. Before we begin, are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. As always, it's a blessing not to get an answer to that request. So good, we can proceed with the net. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association to participate in this net. This net is for the free exchange of technical aspects of our hobby. All aspects of our hobby are by definition deemed to be technical, as we have a technical hobby. So you're pretty much welcome to answer any question on any topic related to amateur radio and things that could advance the art of amateur radio, even if they're not part of the hobby currently. This net meets on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. on the 14679 repeater in Paramus. This repeater is operated by the Bergen County FM Association. The Bergen County FM Association operates this repeater and also a standby repeater in Franklin Lakes, and two 440 repeaters, one in Paramus and one in Franklin Lakes, on 444-100 and 443-100 respectively. We encourage your use of those and also the support of the Bergen County FM Association for the maintenance and upgrading of their repeaters. The format for this net is very straightforward and very simple. We ask that you come when called with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. We encourage all stations listening to the net who are licensed amateurs of technician class or higher to check in, even if you might not have a direct contribution to offer, so that, number one, we can gauge how the net's reaching folks, and number two, how we can perhaps punt a question your way if there's something we feel that you might be able to help us with when there's a question coming our way that you can add some value to. In any case, on that note, we're going to get started with the check-in. The phone call is, again, very simple, and be simpler if I had my headset on, but we're getting there. In any case, at this time, stations with a November call, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment. Wow, no November stations. Okay. Usually don't start with November stations. That may be why everybody's getting confused. Just figure I'd mix it up a bit. Stations with Alpha in their call signs, please call K2BAR.
KB2XT, John, no questions.
Good evening, John, AB2XT. Gotcha. Any other Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
This is K2ZO, no questions.
Good evening, Jim. Very good. K2ZO, K2BAR. Any other stations with Kilo?
K2AMI, Tony. No questions.
Okay, Tony, very good. Thank you very much for checking in. As I think we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Fox Hunt this weekend, and we're also going to use that as an opportunity to perhaps brief people a little bit tonight on what they can do. So I'm glad you checked in. K2AMI, you're acknowledged. This is K2BAR. Anybody else with Kilo?
K2DSL, David, no questions.
Good evening, David. Got you with no questions. No problem, as you know. But glad to have you here tonight. It's always a pleasure to hear your quiet voice. It's always fun to hear. And you always seem to have interesting comments, either during or after the net. So it's good to hear you, K2DSL. Noted. Anybody else for K2BAR with Kilo's call? Please call K2BAR. guys out last week, which is very ironic, considering I have a whiskey call myself. Anybody with a whiskey call, please call K2BAR.
A very whiskey for DSA.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to be here, because I know Charlie M3CRT is away this week, and I know he usually rattles your cage to remind you about the net, so it's nice to have you here. W4DSA, Daniel, good to have you here. Anybody else with a whiskey call, please call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK, Don, no question.
Good evening, Don, W2JEK, K2BAR. Nice to hear you as well. And the other stations with a whiskey call, please call K2BAR. Work on your signal a little bit there, buddy. You got a little egg fry. In fact, points you dropped out during that brief transmission, so I got you, though. So very good. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR.
W2BVV, Tim, no questions.
Good evening, Timothy. W2, Victor, K2BAR. Thank you very much. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, let's go back to the November calls. They were a little slow on the uptake here getting in the program. Any November calls, please call K2BAR.
And J1W, Dave, no questions.
Okay, Dave, very fine. I got you in there, and J1W. Anybody else with a November call, please call K2BAR. Okay, any other stations wishing to check into the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet, please call now. This is K2BAR. Oi! Well, we have, let's see, 10 of us. That's excellent. Probably a few more score lurking, as is what I normally encounter. Tonight we are going to be internet challenged, meaning that we're not going to have Charlie's dynamic website game that we're playing, M3CRT. However, we are going to have a nice little talk about, or chat about the Fox Hunt. So first, to start that conversation off, I'd like to ask Tony to tell us a little bit about the Fox Hunt this upcoming Saturday, where to meet, how to meet, what you need to bring. If you don't, as you, Tony, I think you always point out, you don't have to have anything with you. Just have your warm body present, and you can team up with somebody else. So I'm kind of curious as to what's that about. I'm going to be there with my 11-year-old, so we're going to make a day of it, and that should be intriguing. And so I'm kind of curious as to how we should equip ourselves and whether or not someone wants to drive along with us. That might be entertaining as well. Whichever. So, K2AMI, this is K2BAR, Jörg Nickel.
K2AMI, and thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit about one of my favorite games here called Fox Hunting, or as it is described in New York, it's called Bunny Hunting. In any event, what you need is a radio that has some way of indicating the signal strength of a distant signal. Modern-day radios have LEDs. Older radios had an actual S-meter on it. You want something that has a signal indication on receive, not transmit, it's a receive signal. And you can do this with some of the handy talkies today. Have got a little indicator of signal strength. So that's number one. Number two is you need an antenna, preferably a directional antenna. However, you can work with a rubber ducky and just by moving from point A to point B, determine whether or not the signal strength got stronger or weaker. But it's a lot easier if you have a directional antenna that will point in one direction or another, and that way eliminate, 350 directions on your compass. You only need to know 10 degrees of which way to go. So a directional antenna is the second thing you need. Now, I find it very useful to also have an attenuator between the antenna and the radio. And so I have an attenuator that puts out a maximum of 80 dB, and that's plenty. Although there are attenuators, Noel has one that goes up to 120 dB, and even if you had an attenuator that just cranks in 20 dB would help. The attenuator cuts down the signal strength for you and gives you a narrower beam width. You know that the signal comes from the weakened point of the antenna pointing or the weakened direction that you're looking at. Now, those are the three basic things you need. A transceiver with an X-meter, an antenna, and possibly an attenuator. Let me just drop it for a second because I have more. Now, the other thing that's ideal to have is a map. Now, all our fox hunts are generally done here in Bergen County. And you can get a very nice Bergen County map from the Bergen County headquarters down in, I think it's number one Court Plaza or something like that. It's down on Lower Main Street in Hackensack. They have some very nice maps available of the entire county. Of course, the front cover of the map has lots of information about who currently is the head of the department and all that kind of stuff, and lots of political stuff, but if you ignore that and look for the map. In any event, you need a map of some type. Now, the reason why you need a map is that if you are going to use a directional antenna, you'll be able to plot a straight line in any particular direction that you get the strongest signal. So, to plot the signal, you need to place the antenna down on something that is non-magnetic. The ground is good, but generally I bring a small TV-type table, the kind that you prop up in front of your couch when you're eating TV suppers or something. But you need a wooden table, because it's non-magnetic. You need a straight-line ruler, something, depending upon the size of your map, at least 18 inches long would be great. It doesn't have to be a measuring stick. It just needs a straight line device so you can draw a line from point A where you are to point B where you think you're getting the signal from, or at least the radio where you're going to get the signal from. And they need a compass. And let me again drop it for a second. And of course, now you need a magnetic compass. Now, bear in mind that a magnetic compass points towards north, but your maps have north at the top edge of the map. All maps are constructed such that the top edge of the map is north and the bottom edge is south. So there'll be an error. And it's interesting, on Jim's suggestion last night on the other net, I went to magnetic declination on Google and found a website that if you put in your zip code, it gives you the magnetic declination of your town, reference to a magnetic north. And my town, it's 13 point something degrees. So the point I'm not worried about, the 13 degrees is as accurate as I can work. So as you all know, it's somewhere between 13 and 15 degrees in this area. So 13 degrees, now looking at the map, would be 13 degrees clockwise to the right of where your magnetic reading is. So you have to orientate your map so that your north reading of the compass and the map north has the 13 degree variation with it. And that is critical if you're going any long distance to find an object. And the next important thing is generally you got to research some of the parks in the area where they are, because typically the fox hides in one of the county parks or in an area where there's parklands. And that's about it. We can talk about antennas in a few moments, but those are the basics. Back to net control.
Okay, that's a very good overview. I think before we move on to the next subject, a segment of that, are there any questions for Tony at this time on what he's given us up to this point? Please call Q2BAR. Okay, very good. Tony, carry on.
Okay, well, carrying on could mean that if on the way of As you guys have probably seen, I've made up two different tape measure antennas as found on the Google website, a two-element one and a three-element one. Well, I find that the three-element beam, which is used for direction, is a little too strong. It puts too strong a signal, and you need too much dB to get a direction on it. So the two-element Yagi works fine for Burton County area here. However, I would start out with the three-element one, find out whether I've got too much signal or not, put it aside, and use my two-element one after that, and then work with that. So if you're going to build one, building a simple two-element one is where I'd suggest you build one. If you type in, again, tape measure fox hunting antenna, Google, you'll find it. I don't have the website, but it's not hard. Google is so great at finding things. You'll find it. Now, we also have had people take a piece of stovepipe, a 4-inch diameter, depending upon the diameter of your biceps and your arm, and take the handy talkie and pull it inside of the stovepipe and aim the stovepipe in various directions with the antenna of the walkie-talkie recessed inside the stovepipe. The further in you go, the less signal you get. And it does work very nicely. If you don't have a piece of stovepipe, you can simulate this by wrapping Reynolds wrap around the antenna and the handy-talkie. Again, be prepared to listen for the signal or measure the signal in some way so you know when you're coming to the right peak point. I use a piece of half-inch square netting, a wire netting, something like you might call chicken wire, but with a very small square box to it, a half-inch square box, and I made a loop that way, and it worked pretty well. Wasn't pleased with it 100%, but it helped. You also can improvise a BNC connection with a short piece of wire on it, cut instead of having a 19-inch whip, try something like 8 inches or even 4 inches. Different length widths will give you different signal strengths. They don't have to be resonant now because you're listening. And the third one I've used, I picked up a loop antenna that was found on the internet, and any loop antenna that you can couple with a BNC connection. You could get a simple loop wound around I would recommend something at least in a 12-inch diameter circle. I've done it. A loop antenna around the edges of a
repeater. Time out. Repeater reset. Thank you.
Good evening.
Did I lose anything on that one?
We lost about the last 2 minutes. Last 20 seconds.
Okay, well, I was talking about a loop antenna, and what I said was that I've actually taken a pizza box and wrapped wire, maybe 8 or 10 turns of wire around a pizza box, and duct taped it to the, clear taped it to the edge of the pizza box, and then coupled the two ends together with a cable and put a BNC connection to you, my handy talkie. And any loop, even though it's not resonant at 144 megacycles, or the band that we'll be using, it will work on direction, so you can experiment with that too. Of course, you can build a resonant loop antenna, would even be better. If you happen to have one of those KU4 loops, 2-meter loops, that would work. So you see, with a little imagination, almost anything works for an antenna, but you need an antenna that will be directional. Let me stop it there and see if there's any questions from that, because I don't have too much more to add to it. So W2TTT at the K2BAR Information Technical Net, it's back to you.
Okay, very good. That sounds interesting. Let's see. Are there any questions from anybody at this time about Tony's presentation? Please call K2BAR. 82XT. Go ahead, John.
My question for Tony is, I am going to Fox Hunt, but how many hours do we think this is going to take?
John, generally we start at 1 and we finish by 3 o'clock, and sometimes sooner. It takes about an hour minimum for the best hunter to locate the fox. the Fox will transmit for, oh, perhaps 2 or 3 minutes, and then stop transmitting for 5 minutes. And then in that period, you can, in a 5 minute period, you can reposition your vehicle or whatever you're using to get to the spot to get another reading. So it takes a number of readings to zero in on the Fox. 2 hours would be minimum time to spend. Because after the Fox hunt, generally we go for pizza or ice cream or something like that, whatever the group wants. At Barrett's expense.
KF2ID. Just checking in. KF2ID, noted. Welcome aboard, Ben. Okay, Tony, did you want to, does anyone have any, or John, I guess you had it, did you want to follow up with Tony?
Yeah, could you elaborate a little bit more? It sounds interesting, you know, the stop and go, like, what may have happened in past events, you know, where maybe somebody went too far north and realized it was going south, maybe, you know, a tall tale or two on that?
I don't know if that question is directed at Tony here or not, but I didn't have a good copy on you. You kept breaking up, or something kept breaking you up. Gordon, did you copy enough of that?
What I got was John, you wanted to know if you could tell us, if Tony could tell us some anecdotes about people's experiences about being too far off or right on, or, you know, success and failure stories and pitfalls and things to worry about?
Yeah, I think that's the idea, Gordon, yeah.
Tony?
I can just think of one situation that comes to mind quickly, and that is Andrew and Barbara were searching for the Fox, and they didn't have a directional antenna, and they were getting apparently the right angle of the Fox, but the wrong end of the county, and they were below Route 4, and the Fox was above Westwood. In other words, you have to be certain that you are headed in the right direction. You got to have a directional antenna, or you got to equip yourself such that you have a blockage for the reverse direction the signal's coming in, and to certain yourself that you are receiving from a particular direction. The other comment is that I was a Fox once, and the radio that I had only the lowest signal output was 1 watt, and it was just too strong to locate. People kept saying, he must be right here, he's so close, he's so powerful. I just couldn't attenuate my signal below 1 watt with that radio. And so they were very confused with the 1 watt signal being so strong. So the Fox should have less than a watt power. A couple hundred milliwatts would be good. The type of signal we're working with is a very weak signal, and that's what we want to get our experience with.
W2AKR repeater.
W2VVV.
Okay, very good. That was helpful, Tony. Tim, go ahead with your comments or question.
Well, I did hear a pretty funny story from one ham. Telling me about his experience with the Fox hunt. Apparently, during the Fox hunt, some non-hams, playing around in a park, found this device and thought it was very interesting. The device being the Fox, picked it up and were taking it along with them, and brought it to one friend's house, back to another friend's house, back home. That one individual got picked up by his parent and was driven back home, and needless to say, it took him a while to find the Fox, and the Fox kept running. He didn't stay still. This is W2VVV back in net.
Okay,
I'm loving this. That's a great story. I love that. Alrighty. Well, that could be pretty cool. Alright, let's see. Anybody else with comments or questions about box hunting?
What's up, KS2ID?
This generally does not abandon the Fox transmitter. Generally, the Fox transmitter is part of the equipment that he stands with, but I know that some real sophisticated Fox hunters, they actually build a little black box emitting a beacon signal and hang it someplace in the top of a tree or in the crook of an arm of a tree and do not remain in the area. You know, it's a battery-powered little black box with a beeper signal, and I guess that could be a lot of fun, but we've never done that. Generally, we operate with a handy talkie, and the fellow who is the fox is right with a handy talkie.
Very good, very good. Okay, Ben, KF2ID, your question.
Yes, the loop antenna. It seems to me that might give a little problems because the loop antenna is bidirectional. The other antennas you were discussing the are unidirectional, but the loop antenna is bidirectional, so you really don't know whether they go to the right or to the left. I don't know if you have any comments on that.
You talking about New Jersey voters? Go ahead, Tom.
Or the people that you meet on New York streets. Then what you do with the loop antenna is you shield it in front of your body as much as possible, or you back it up close to a metal car, and you try to determine, holding it close to your body and then spinning around is one way of helping improve the direction of a loop antenna. But a loop antenna is very accurate in determining the direction, so you got that advantage of accuracy. You just have to determine which direction it is, whether it's ahead of you or behind you.
Mr. Ben?
Okay, he answered the question. You have to have some kind of a shield, essentially, back of the loop, so you know what direction to go in. All right, that answered the question. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, and basically what he's suggesting is that something absorptive and not something reflective, so that's another characteristic of what you're looking for as well. The other thing, we had this conversation, maybe 3-4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago now. If I recall, the other thing we needed to consider is having which way the loop is directional. If I remember right, it's directional in the direction of the wire, not broadside to the loop. The loop broadside is actually the null point, right?
I think you're directing that at me, Gordon. And generally I'll find that the face of, if you refer to the loop antenna as the head of a body, the face of the antenna, as opposed to where the wire would be round around your face, the face of the antenna is the direction that you will probably pick up the strongest signal, as I recall. The weakest signal. You're right, the weakest signal. It's true. The weaker signal is dead on to the face of the loop.
Okay, very good. And if you want to turn it into something that is directional in the face of the loop, then you have to put a reflector behind it. And that's why I was suggesting strongly that if you play that game, that you use something absorptive. In fact, you should stand behind the with the loop, essentially like you're holding a bass drum in a band. You hold the loop in front of you like you were swinging the bass drum, and use your body as a shield in one direction, and then the direction you're facing is where the wire is, both the whole thing, and then the signal you're listening to, if you have a signal maximum, is out there where you're facing.
Comment?
Yes, sir.
AB2XT. My last time I looked at the antenna book,
I believe there was a thing about making a loop antenna a cardioid shape, and you put a monopole, you would mount it on some kind of a shaft, but there were, you know, like a beam, and you would put a monopole on one side, and that would be on the face, if you will. If you were looking in a mirror, the mirror, you know, you're looking head-on, you're looking at the plane rather than in the edge of the wire. The monopole is put, you know, so that if you look through the loop, you would see the monopole on the other side. So that seems to indicate that the sensitive side is right through the loop, you know, right through the center of the wire.
Okay, very good. That was helpful. Any other comments regarding the antennas for direction finding, please call K2BAR.
NJ1W.
NJ1W, go.
Don't you use triangulation to try to find the fox? I mean, if you... It wouldn't matter, which way... which direction your... how directional your antenna was. I mean, it would only... You drew a one line on your map, and then you go off a mile and... broadside to that line and draw another line, and that line is only going to intersect in one direction. It won't intersect in the other direction, so you don't really know, have to know which way your antenna is facing or where the signal's coming from, because the line is only going to intersect in one direction.
That's correct. Okay. Well, in any case, I think that if you build the antenna in the manner which you described, or Tony described, and use it in the manner which Tony described, I think you'll be in fine shape. I think that's pretty cool as well. I'm going to try to bring some gear, some real basic gear, and I'll have my little board and a map, assuming a Bergen County map is sufficient. And we'll bring the pencil and... by the way, I can offer you a suggestion. If you know the declination in the area in question, mark it up on your map in advance. And instead of using the top, the map, you know, with its normal grid, put a overlay a magnetic grid onto it just by using your ruler. You can do that. You don't need to have anything particularly fancy. All you need to do is take that 11, 12, 13 degrees of declination that's common in this part of the county, and draw a line there, and then just start drawing parallel lines to it, and you're done. So you can save yourself a think step on the hunt by doing that as well. When I go backpacking, I generally will orient everything to magnetic and be done with it. That way it's one less step to consider. Anybody else? Tony, you want to make any more comments before we solicit more questions?
Hey, it's NJ1W. That's an excellent comment there on triangulation. But if you end up going in the wrong direction on your first reading, you might end up with a very weak signal and not get a good second signal to triangulate with. So you do eliminate some of the uncertainty in the direction of the antenna, the direction of the fox, by having a directional antenna or a directional loop or a loop that can be oriented in a direction. You can do without it, but it helps to have the direction determined. Back to that.
Dave, you want to go with that?
No, I fully agree. I stand my 2 cents. I've never been on a fox hunt, so I yield to the experience, really. I just thought if you were unsure of what direction you were reading, if you did try to triangulate, you would know for sure. But I guess if you didn't get a reading on your second time, it's not going to help you. So I guess it's good to have a good antenna to begin with and know which way you want to go.
Yeah, what's that, was it Dippity Doo Dog? Which way did he go? Okay, anyway. No,
on, go right ahead.
Is it considered sporting to have, like, cross-county people, somebody who's west and somebody who's east, who immediately chat with each other and say, I see it in this direction, and the other one says, I see it in that direction, and immediately draw two lines?
Ooh, I like that question. In other words, can we have competing packs of dogs, if you will, or coyotes hunting, or maybe better yet, hyenas competing for the rabbit? Tony?
It's not been the policy of of our group, because we typically get such a few number of fox hunters out that we don't have teams that'll do that. But if I can see that if we're going into the Olympics of fox hunting, that what you ask would be a technique that would help. Of course, you would have to read loud in degrees what angle you observe these signals and so forth, and relay it between the two different points. And sure, that would be helpful, but maybe in the future if we get enough teams together and we get some competition going, that we could look into that aspect of it. John, thank you. Back to Ned.
Comment.
W2JEK, go ahead. P2BAR.
You know, that time business reminds me of what the Gestapo used to do looking for French resistance transmitters during World War II. They have several different locations that more or less locate, do a triangulation with their directional antennas. And then once they got to the basic area, they'd send in somebody with a very with a radio receiver and with a meter that was a Metz meter, really, for the close-in work. So the teamwork has been done in the past. One thought I have. I built a device called a direction of arrival (TDOA). Also known as a rubber ducky directional finder, but I don't use rubber ducks. I use coat hanger wires made like two dipole antennas spaced apart on a piece of wood, and then was a 555 timer chip put a modulated signal on, and when you heard the null in the signal, you got the idea that was the direction your antenna was pointing in. That's a helpful device too. Back to that, W2JEK.
Yep, those antennas worked very, very well. They were, oh God, what would they call those things? There was a colloquial name used when those things first hit the amateur market. That's basically how those police devices locate your car. Should you have I can't even think of the name of the service. Maybe someone else will remember. But anyway, basically, you ever see four antennas in a square on top of a police car? They're meant for basically TDOA type of detection to go track down where your car went. Anybody remember what the name of that service was and what the name of the amateur toy was that came out? As it came out in kid form, and most people had eight antennas on their car. I just can't think of what it was called. Okay, Dave again.
Was that called the double ducky?
Negative, not the double ducky. Don?
Yeah, it was the service was called LoJack, and they used the four antennas and an electronic device to make them spin around to look like they were actually rotating. The ones I think Tony KW2DTA had one that one of our fox hunts that was had the eight antennas on it. He mounted on the roof of his vehicle. And you have the lights, and they would indicate the direction where the signal was. But the LoJack, I understand, is sort of being phased out. We're talk, of the night. Nowadays, everybody's got these GPS things in the car. It tells you tells you how many miles you got on your car and when it's time to change your oil. So I don't think they sell many oil jacks anymore. But Joe, K2OCC, was in the sheriff's department and was involved in a case where they were using a low jack to trace a stolen vehicle. And it was actually moving at the time from his recollection of it. So that must have, there were several cars actually in the chase on that one. Back to that W2JK.
Well, that sounds lovely. Yeah, LoJack and the unit that DTA had back when he was, I think, KB2DTA or KA2DTA, if you remember, was a DOPSCAN. A DOPSCAN. I knew the name would come to me eventually. And I had one as well. And they were kind of neat. Back when I was the trustee of the 1-9 repeater, we had, unfortunately, a rather routine requirement for midnight deployment of a DOP scan, and we got to the point where we would just quietly identify who it was and wait for the next time, and we just proceed direct from their location and or near their location once we had our suspicions. And a few phone calls usually stopped the mess, which was a good thing. We usually had somebody from outside the group who was not associated with the repeater call them up within the amateur community and basically explain to them, you know, how miserable their life could be, you know, dealing with federal magistrates and, you know, FCC officers and things like that. Just gets very unpleasant. Anyway, that's what we did. Let's see. Any other questions on this topic, please call K2BAR.
This is KF2ID. I just wanted to make a comment on the declination. Any reasonable compass has a declination angle on it. So it enables you to set, take this into account. You just point the compass at the declination angle, and the true north is shown. And so you don't have to mark any maps up or anything. I think all the Boy Scout compasses must do this. I don't know, Gordon, you probably know that better than I do, but the hiking compass that I use has it. And and it's only the very low-end compasses that don't. That's KF2ID.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ben. That's a fine technique for using it. But what I'm trying to say is the propensity for things to either come out of whack or, become, confused is minimized if you... If you basically turn around and get do mark up a map, it just simplifies your world by a whole lot. One other thing is that some GPS receivers will allow you to decide whether or not you're using magnetic or true, and make sure that if you have that in conjunction with your paper map and your DFing and things like that, that you synchronize the orientation of the moving map with the paper map and with whatever method you wish to use, whether it's magnetic or true north. Just make sure everything's synced up and that it remains synced up throughout the event, because as I said, I've seen cases where the declination gets moved around, bouncing out of a backpack or bouncing out of a car, so you can save yourself a lot of aggravation by taking care of that. Are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call K2BAR.
Good evening.
N2CYY.
And O2T Mobile.
Okay, we have N2CYY and NO2T. Good evening, gentlemen. We're talking about the joys and pleasures of fox hunting, and that's a pretty good thing, since we have a fox hunt on Saturday. Tony, would you just punctuate this, take this opportunity to give us a little bit of a commercial again, where to meet, when to meet, what to bring, is the essentials, and always, of course, note that they don't need anything other than themselves if they want, and we can always team up. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the starting point will be the same place that we have our ham fest, and that's the parking lot of the Westwood High School, and the time is 1 o'clock, 1 p.m., on Saturday. Now, hopefully, we won't have an influx of any other activity going on at that time, but in any event, we'll be able to assemble by radio to a corner of the lot if necessary, or some other location. But we're looking forward to going to the parking lot of the Westwood High School at 1 p.m. on this coming Saturday. Now, again, pay attention that Saturday is a shopping day for a lot of people, and road traffic is not minimal. Other fox hunts we've done have been on Sunday, and often it's a lot easier. And a laundry list, what you need is a handy talkie with an S meter, a directional antenna, an attenuator if possible, or some way of improvising attenuation, a map of Burton County. If you're going to lay it out on a wooden table away from your car, which is reflective, you have to be 20 feet away from the car generally, and a straight edge of some type. I think that's the basics. Back to net.
Okie doke, very good. Lou or Jerry, did you either one of you want to make a comment? Lou, go ahead.
No comments on the fox hunt. I do have a general opinion question afterwards to just throw out. Thanks.
Not a problem. I'll file that away that you have a comment or a question to add. That's excellent. Jerry, how about you? NOCT K2BAR.
This is NO2T Mobile. Yeah, I smile when we argue about declination, true north, so forth, magnetic north, because it seems that every time we go out, field day or VHF contest, there's immediately an argument of where to point the antenna. I started carrying my portable GPS to resolve those nights that you can't see the North Star, because sometimes they subtract declination, sometimes they add it, and of course, you know, the declination varies all over the lot. It's a function of years and location. As for the fox hunt, it's always fun. I'm not going to be there this Saturday because I'm taking a jar, but one thing I used to do is take advantage of the sunroof, because when you shove the antenna out the sunroof, you don't have to worry about reflections from your car. And the sunroof makes a very excellent ground plane to give you good directions either to the source of the fox or to a source of the reflection of the fox. Because remember, 2 meters, VHF bounces all over the place, both in polarization and direction. Back to net, NO2T.
Okay, good points all around. Yeah, I'm debating as to what I'm going to be able to throw together in a hurry regarding that, but on the roll, directionality is going to be a tricky business. Pardon me. Pardon. Anyway, well, long days, guys. Work has been very, very busy. Good, very satisfying, but very busy. So I'm a tired boy these days. All right. That's a good point. Anything else? Mr. Tony, 1 o'clock. Westwood High School in Washington Township, where we have the ham fest, and I think that's the gist of it all. And bring a radio with an S meter, some way to attenuate your signal, including break down to a pipe or a piece of foil, directional antenna, a map, a writing instrument, a compass, and a straight edge, and you're good to go. Alrighty. What frequency do we use? I guess we don't announce that in advance. So if people get lost during the event, where do they go, Tony? As if they want to rejoin the group and they're not finding the Fox, how do they, you know, shall we say, reestablish contact with the real world?
I suppose it would be to listen on 146.1979, the Paramus repeater, and we'll kind of congregate there after the event. Or in some cases, there'll be people checking into that frequency, but not on a scheduled basis. But Jerry mentioned something I didn't mention, and that is generally the Fox is vertically polarized. He's not horizontally polarized, so he's using a rubber ducky antenna or a vertical antenna mounted on the top of his car. So keep vertical polarization in mind, but understand that if you rotate your antenna 90 degrees, you can get an attenuation loss, 20 dB attenuation loss, and in some cases that may be useful to determine the direction of the signal arriving. Okay, back to you, Gordon. Question?
Go ahead, Doc.
It was mentioned that declination is approximately 13 degrees, and is that east or west? Is a magnetic north actually east of the actual north, or is that west of the north? I wasn't sure of that. Over.
It's west here.
Okay, thank you.
Comment? Station wanted to make a comment. Go ahead.
KA2QIJ. About the last station about like attenuate the signal. Some of the newer ATCs have an attenuator built into the menu, which may help out cut down the signal too. Just my 2 cents worth.
Okay. Very, very well. I'm sorry, I missed your call.
KA2UIJ.
Sorry, brain dead. Okay. KA2UIJ. Good to hear you, Jim. All right. Very fine. That's a good point. Use the attenuation function of your radio if you have one. I'll give you 20 dB right up front. That's super. I know how to engage it and release it when you're close in. That's helpful. Alrighty. Any other comments on this topic?
KF2ID. Yeah, what do you do if it rains? You call it, or are you going to rain anyways?
You know that comedy routine where the weatherman stands up and he says, "So, Mr. Weatherman, how is the weather?" And he goes, "It's gonna rain." Okay, there's your answer.
I also add to that, if the rain is unusually heavy or thunderstorms or, very, very inclement, we'll call the Fox Hunt. But something like today or yesterday where it's just a light shower, you could probably still function okay. It'd be a little more fun to get your wet map and so forth.
W2AKR, repeater.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, unless, why don't you use this as a reference? If the rain is such that we might be needed, you know, for the Red Cross, call it. I think that's a good criteria to use, don't you think?
Any flooding announcement, and we'll use the team for something else. Thank you.
There you go. That's a good answer. That's a very good answer. Alrighty, any other comments, questions for the net, please call K2BAR. Okay, were there any other comments before we go to CYY's question or comment?
Please check us.
NS2K. Jim, you're a little spotty, but you're check in.
Mobile.
Okay, well, we're doing real well. Hi, Linda, and good hearing you as well. Jim. Do either one of you have a comment or question regarding fox hunting? This Saturday, 1 p.m., Westwood High School. Be there or be square. Jim, you first. Oh, you're the fox. I guess you'll be there, huh? Okay, Jim's signal is just not quite getting there. Okay. Noted. All right. And Linda, how about you? Any of that other than you have not participated in the fox hunt before. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. If you don't have the equipment for it, I've been told that you can team up with somebody there and, you know, put a bunch of people in a car and go have a good time. I'm trying to sort it all out. That'll be fun. So you need not be experienced. You need not have equipment. You need to just show up. And I would suggest we're dressing for the weather. And as Tony pointed out, pizza or ice cream on Barra are provided, which I think is pretty awesome. Tony, I'm arguing for ice cream. Or I'm just putting my vote in now. Anyway. On that pleasant note, anybody else with questions, comments, or conclusions about fox hunting? We have filled an hour on this topic. This is excellent. This is K2BAR. Okay, Tony, thank you very much for your insights and encouragement, and as always with everything you do, your enthusiasm. This is excellent. Anything you want to put the ribbons on before we go on to CYY's question? K2AMI, K2BAR.
Off topic, I just want to verbally thank two Barra members for helping me exchange my rotator on my antenna today. K2ZO and K2HL were very helpful in replacing the existing rotator that I had with the one that I relubricated and adjusted. And we'll talk more about rotator grease in the future. Back to that control.
Yeah, I did one with Charlie a couple of weeks ago. It was an ASL rotator that had stopped functioning, and I was able to not only get it to function, but restore it to fine working order. And, yeah, that's a load of fun, isn't it? Anyway. Alrighty. Mr. Lou, Mr. Ramsey OEM himself, or one of several Ramsey OEM himself, into CYY, K2BAR. Over to you, Mr. Lou.
Wow, all I need was a little drum roll and red carpet. This is an opinion question. I noticed that a couple months back, Yaesu came out with a dual band FM that utilized any 12 or not well that was working. That's it.
Do you know the model number?
Up with the tough questions. No, off the top of my head, I don't. I know it's relatively new. I think the radio has been out for 6 months, but the Bluetooth adapter that goes in the rig and the actual headset, I think, just came out within the last month or two.
Oh, really? Okay. I was wondering how they were going to get that. Well, I've gone to the Yaesu Vertex website, and I can probably Google something like Bluetooth and figure it out, don't you think?
Yeah, I just was curious if anybody had one or if anybody knew somebody that had one to see what they thought of it.
Okay, it's a FTM-10R.
Sounds like it.
I found that pretty easily, didn't I? way, Google makes you all look so smart. Even if you had no clue 5 minutes before. FTM 10R product reviews on eham.net. Well, let's see. That's an interesting thing. If you go to eham.net and enter FTM 10-10R, I think you will find that, as always on eham, things are either overwhelmingly positive or overwhelmingly negative. There's only 1, 2 of 5 here. Everything else is 5 of 5 or 4 of 5. Most of it's 5 of 5. So I would dare say it's getting generally good reviews on eham, although they tend to be a little rosy-colored over there.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. I check the eham and stuff, and you have... It's like anything. I would rather give an opinion of somebody local rather than somebody that just likes to see themselves right on eham. But thank you.
Well, there's another one that's somebody's blog, which is always exciting. But, I think that's a really interesting concept. I did see that, too. And, it's a dual-band rig. And, by the way, there is an optional microphone for it. You can actually get a real mic if you want it.
Roger, that's just one of the little things I'll leave as a note for my wife for maybe possibly even the Christmas tree. Thank you.
Okay, very good. I don't know if I'd want one like that. I mean, I have vision issues that for small stuff, but... let's see, 500 memories with alpha tags, Bluetooth, clock calendar, it does the wires thing, it's got some sort of messaging feature, line in, what is PA, I'm trying to figure what that's about, a 9600K, a 9600 packet ready, and dual receive and transmit tone, and DCS, so it's not that tiny though. I mean, it's 1 3 kilos, and it's not very big if I remember right. 100x38 by 178 millimeters is not a big radio. So that's very cool. It's 4 inches or 5 inches across. I mean, it's small, 5 inches across and. Maybe, 8-9 inches, probably 9 inches deep, front to back, and maybe only inch and a half, inch and three quarters high. Okay, I wasn't sure if you wanted to say anything more, Lou. All right, very good. Well, thank you for asking that question. Certainly, it's a very intriguing radio because of its weatherproofing, its ruggedness, its Bluetooth thing. I like Bluetooth, but I'm not really fond of it, frankly. But that's just me. I can never figure out when the Bluetooth has decided to go, legs up and not work, and all of a sudden you don't know that you're not working anymore. So I use wired headsets, even on my phone. But that's just my preference. I'm a bit of a Luddite that way. Alrighty, any other topics, questions, concerns for the net, please call K2BAR.
W2VVV.
Mr. Tim. VVV, go ahead.
Hey, Gordon. I was chatting with Charlie the other night, and we're trying to determine if there was... Well, he was saying that there was some popping noise on my signal, and I don't think it's the power supply here. I'm wondering how the signal sounds now.
Your intended modulation sounds extremely crisp, spriteful, and pleasant to listen to. Having said that, there's a hum on your signal from your power supply, and there's some sort of egg cry stuff on your signal as well.
Okay, very well. I'll have to troubleshoot some more. I guess that's one good thing of this being recorded. I can listen to it later on. tough thing for me is to hear what actually everybody else is saying. But hopefully I've talked enough now that I can hear it later once you post it. All right, back in that K2BARW2 triple V.
Okay, very fine. That sounds fun. I'm hearing the train coming by. Anyway, yes, the humble queue. There we go. Alrighty. In any case, I have no more at this time. Any last requests for the net, please call K2BAR.
I want a request but a comment on Tim's signal, Gordon. This is K2AMI. I wonder if his tone that you hear is in the PL tone. It's larger than it should be.
Could you transmit again, Tim?
Yeah, very good. You know, I always hear, we've had this discussion before with John, AB2XT as well, that we hear this low-level kind of whine on the signal. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but Gordon, you said that you brought it into some type of FFT, and it was very high up, probably nowhere near the PL, so I don't know if it's actual hum from the power supply or not, because when I was with Charlie, or working with Charlie, I went to battery power, and he said he still heard the same noise. So, I don't know if it's just RFI from other devices in the shack here or not.
No, what I'm hearing right now is not what we were debugging the other day, and it's not the PL, because I can hear the PL as well. It's lower in frequency than the PL. I think it's 120 hertz. 120 hertz stuff. Do you have a fan going, perhaps?
Well, the only fan nearby is an power supply for the computer.
No, I don't think so. Okay, yeah, you have some sort of AC hum then.
Okay, is that any different now? I'm trying to go a little bit farther away. I don't know if it's getting injected in the mic or what.
I think it's being injected in the power lead.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, if it's AC hum, clearly. I just was making sure it wasn't RF getting injected back into the speaker mic, but I guess not. No, I'll have to keep trying to figure out. W2BVV.
Okie doke. All right. Yeah, I think, you know, we're all working, I mean, that roughly 3100 hertz mess is a repeater artifact. This is a one, you know, some sort of a low-level signal, and it's around 120 hertz or so. And let's see what else. Guess that's about it. Any other comments, questions, or confusions for the net, please call K2BAR. Okie doke, having heard nothing, I'll remind everybody that the next Barra meeting is a week from Sunday. A week, not this weekend, but next week. Please bring your dinner reservations for the Barra, what do you call it, banquet, holiday party, whatever. Which will be the first Saturday in December. That'll be a wonderful time, and make sure that you're there for that as well. The New York City Marathon will be next week as well. So for those participating in that in a week and a half, Godspeed and have fun with that, and we can all listen on various nets and enjoy the chatter and the good contributions of amateur radio. I'm sorry to report that the Devils lost. I'm even sorrier to report that the Rangers won. And I'm going to the Devil game on Saturday. It should be interesting. In any case, WA2SST, or is it WA2? WB2SST, I'm sorry. Jack is associated with their IT organization. And so we get some insights there. It's pretty exciting down in the Prue Center. So I'd like to thank AB2XT, K2ZO, K2MI, of course, especially because of his generous donations of time and thought tonight, K2DSL, W4DSA, W2JEK, W-E-2-R, W-2, Victor, 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 NJ-1-W, N-2-C-Y-Y, N-O-2-T, N-S-2-K, and love to Dory, please, Jerry, N-S-2-K, and W-2-B-C-R. Thank you very much for making it a very pleasant, entertaining net for this hour and 15, or hour and 14 minutes. And at this time, W-2-T-T-T will secure K-2-B-A-R for the evening. Thank you.
Good evening.